Radha-madhava astasaki ki jai, so paupada ki jai. Narayanam namaskrityam. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devam sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jayam udhirayat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5. Chapter 18, text numbers 7 through 14, the residence of Ilavrita, where are they? Harivarsha, the residence of Harivarsha, offer prayers. You can just kind of just read text number 7 together, kind of in unison, as prose. Hari Varshe Chapi Bhagavan Narahari Rupaste Tadrupa Grahana Nimita Uttarat Vidashyase Tadayitam Rupam Mahapurusha Guna Bhajano Mahabhagavato Daitya Danavakula Tirti Karana Shiva Charita Pralado via vadanyanya bhakti yogena sahatad varsha purushar upasatam idam chodharati. Let's read translation. Okay. Ladies first. Read translation? So Prahlad Maharaj has so many nice qualities that he caused Lord Nrisimhadeva to descend. Okay, text number 8. Here you are. Our Nepali Brahman. You want to lead us? You lead us. Text number 8. It's just kind of hard though. Okay, I'll do it. Yeah? Okay. Okay, you have to learn this mantra today. Yes, then tomorrow you can chant it and show us your power. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya.
Namaste Jas Tejase Avir Avir Baba. Vajranaka Vajradamstra Karma Sayan Randaya Randaya. Tamagraso Graso Om Svaha. Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyishta Om Frown. Ah, Pali Mantra. Great potent. One time I chanted this and one dog ran away like that. He was kind of growling at me. Om, Om, Kraum. Die. It's a good mantra. Okay. Let me translation. Translation. So we discussed this yesterday. You know, even with the with that one, the Empire Strikes Back. What his name? He had to confront his worst enemy, and his worst enemy was himself. Yeah, everybody comments this. John Paul Jones, and Americans in the beginning were always fighting with the British. So I guess maybe it was the War of 1812 again, which is the famous verse here, 5-18-12. And the British were trying to come across the Great Lakes, and conquer the northern part. So one American captain, John Paul Jones, he went out there with his ships and fought with them. And sent a telegram back or whatever, like a short message, saying, we have met the enemy and he is ours, like that, very famous phrase. So there was a cartoon strip called Okefenokee Swamp, pretty famous. Guy had some thoughtful ideas in there, you know. And Pogo was this kind of strange platypus character running around like that, you know. So he said, we have met the enemy and he is us. That's a problem. So this is the problem, you know. We have these, they have karma. This is the main word the problem starts with here is karma asayan. Karma asayan. What does that mean? How does Prabhupada translate it? How do the DVT editors translate it? Karma asayan. Ashayan. To be. Yeah, demoniac desires to be happy by material activities. And I guess the word is asha. Asha means aspiration. Yeah, aspiration. Like that. Huh? Abhilash. Yeah. And also maybe the songs of the prayers are too. This is also the acronym for our Anjana Sudha Academy. Yeah. It's a very common word, asha. And I guess ashayan, what does that mean? The plural? Okay. Yeah. So we have many desires for karma. Karma ashayan. And probably that's what he starts talking about. Everybody wants to enjoy matter. You know? And how do we get free from these? Because Lord Nrisimhadev, he karma ashayan randaya, right? He chases them away. He vanquishes them. Randaya. Kindly vanquish these. Yeah. And what is the basis of these desires? Tamaha. Ignorance. Like that. Tamaha. Ignorance of this material world. Grasa. Kindly drive away. Grasa. Kindly drive away. Yeah. So it vanquishes these desires. Vanquish. Right? Randaya. These desires for material enjoyment. By driving away grasa, tamo grasa, by driving away our ignorance. And again, the beginning of the Nectar Devotion has a very detailed description of bija, kuta, aparabdha, how he's actually developed in detail. Yeah, it's all based upon tama. Yeah. So, and how does he do this? How does Anushingadev drive? Why is he qualified to drive away these ignorance and all of our material desires? What does he have? He has. Yes, like what? Vajranaka. Vajranamsta. There he is. Okay. He's Vajradangstita. He's a little Anushingadev. Yeah. So with these terrifying. He doesn't have to use them. You know, he just shows these, and everybody else runs away like that. Like that. And the lion roars, everybody runs. Oh, my God. That's the animals. You can hear it from here to the other side of the campus. You know, a lion like that. Ooh, very easy. So powerful. So, and he's Tejas, Tejase, Avir, Avir, Bhava. He's the source of all strength. It's actually very simple. Very simple mantra. Very, very powerful, alliterative. Good meditation. And Kshaung is the Bija mantra again. This is the sound, the iconic sound representation of Nrisingadev. The you have a blackboard here. We'll buy one today. Make a donation to the temple. You have a wet board, a dry erase board. You have one? No. It's a later. But you have one? Yeah. Later. But yeah. No, it's really important. If you make a triangle, okay, you make another triangle in the opposite direction, so they overlap. And I have a six-pointed star, right? Okay. Now, in each of those little triangles, small triangles, you do the same thing, like that. You know? Okay. And so you get the that's the Nrisinga Yantra, Nrisinga Yantra. Yeah. Yeah, but on each that makes six small triangles. So you do the same thing again, and you get 108 lines. It's made of 108 lines. That's in the Nrisinga Yantra. And again, as far as my speculation goes, then when you chant this mantra correctly, crown, 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 all the brahmanas, that echo will be the yantra you get. Like that, the yantra like that. And you hring, hring, you get Lakshmi Yantra. So the yantra is related to the Bija mantra. Yeah, again, if you drop a rock in the water, you get these waves. I mentioned this before, before they ever had, you know, oscilloscopes? Yeah, okay. Because you can get a standing pattern like that, like a Vishu form like that. I've seen a person doing this, I haven't been into the details. But another way to do it is just to have sand on a plate and put a speaker below it. And the speaker, they have these in big museums. Sometimes the kids change the sound. It controls. And as you do it, the sound makes different patterns like that. And of course, you know, you do different sounds and things like that. So, and before they ever even had speakers, they had metal plates, a very thin rod, metal rod, sand on top, and a violin bow. And they would then go back, you know, and then the sound within goes into a standing wave like that. And they're experimenting with different things like that. You know. So it's, you know, we're addicted to linear time, one thing after another. But this is passion. The mode of goodness is this: is be here now. You know, and then your yantra, your computer program is this here. You know. Of course, the best yantra is Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Okay, we'll go on. And today, and again, this is the verse that Prabhupada selected for the beginning of this volume. In the very beginning, you see, or you don't see. There it is. Yeah. Yeah. In the very beginning, every volume, Prabhupada picks one verse like that. And of course, when it was combined into one book, both volumes, you lost this. But it's a very nice thing to go through and take. I did it one time. Take all these verses and make them into a little booklet, because they're like very, like maybe 32 very special verses from the Bhagavatam. And sometimes you can see it's the beginning of the prayers by Queen Kunti. So this verse, probably other. I know Rupa Maharaj was also emphasizing this one time. Yeah. Okay, we can chant. Yeah. Lead us in chanting number 9 responsibly. You chant, then we chant. Svasti astu vishvasa kala prasidatam. Jayantu bhutani shiva metodhya. Manascha badram bhajatara roksa jay. Aveshyatam no matir api ahoitaki. Svasti, auspiciousness. Astu, let there be. Vishvasya, of the entire universe. So we see the first phrase in the translation says, may there be good fortune throughout the universe. Svasti astu vishvasa. Kalaha, the envious. Almost everyone. Prasidatam, let them be pacified. And the next phrase in the translation says, and may all envious persons be pacified. Svasti astu vishvasa kala prasidatam. Okay, you got to chant with meaning now. Svasti astu vishvasa kala prasidatam. Jayantu. Let them consider. It's like the word dhyana. Means like meditate, think, like that. Jayantu. Let them consider. Bhutani. All living entities. Shivam. Auspiciousness. Mitaha. Mutual. Dhyā. By their intelligence. Jayantu bhutani shivam mito dhyā. Manascha badram bhajatar aroksaje. Manaha. By the mind. Cha. And. Bhadram. Calmness. Okay. Bhajatat. Let it experience. Adoksajay. In the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is beyond the perception of mind, intelligence, and senses. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service they will think of each other's welfare. Aveshyatam. Where is that? You're somewhere out today. Yeah. Let it be absorbed. Naha. Hour. Actually, you should learn that word today. Naha. Means hour. Matahi. Intelligence. Api. Certainly. Ahoituki. Without any motive. Yeah. Let us all engage in the service of Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. Svasti astu vishvasa kala prasidatam. Jayantu bhutani shivam metodhya. Manascha bhadram bhajatara okshajay. Aveshyatam no matirapi ahoituki. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Vanjakalpa tarubhya cha kripa sindubhyay vacha patitanam pavane bhyo Vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. So what does bhya mean? Okay. Yeah. Okay, third one. And then pavane bhyo. Okay, and Vaishnava bhyo. Okay, just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter under his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities. The gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakasipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. Yes. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava, who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. One time, Hari Sori Prabhu said he was in Mayapur. On the first building was the temple building like that. And now it's in the back like that. What's what it is now, the Gada building or something. Was it Chakra building? Let's see. It's the oldest one like that. Before it was a temple room, everything. Then they moved like that. So Prabhu's room is on the second floor. You go up like that. I guess he's third floor. But you go up one step, two steps. And he said he was there standing with Prabhupada on the balcony, and Prabhupada was looking at all the devotees who were there from around the world. And he said, Prabhupada turned to him and said, I want to make the entire world Krishna conscious now. And it was so intense. He said he actually felt like he should jump off the balcony and go tell everybody like that. It was just like, it was so intense. You know? And so Prabhupada, yeah, that was it. Prabhupada's desire to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Sometimes big scholars, they criticize Prabhupada because his books aren't exact translation like that, you know. Because he gives a translation so people understand what the real perspective is, the idea like that. In the end of Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, Prabhupada says, you know, Prabhupada translates Krishna as saying, by following all these rules and regulations of Buddha Yoga, you can get free from this material world and enter the kingdom of God. You know? So what is the Sanskrit for kingdom of God? Brahma Nirvana. Brahma Nirvana. So if you translated Brahma Nirvana as the kingdom of God, you know, then most Buddhists would just drop dead. They would just die. Brahma Nirvana is the kingdom of God. Yeah, because nirvana literally means cessation of material variety or something like that. You know? Prabhupada translates it as the kingdom of God. You know? So in the end, that's what will be established. That's the conclusion of the whole Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada, so that people are not confused, if he translated this as the actual meaning like that, you know, people would just, they wouldn't understand. You know? It's an Upanishad. It's for like people who are afraid of personal form. So Prabhupada's concern was not, he's concerned for scholars. If you're a scholar and you read Prabhupada's books, you get satisfied. There's something in there for you. Very precise, this discussion of words, everything else like that. You know? But on the other hand, if you know, he really tries to give something that everybody can appreciate like that. So his books are like for everybody, you know? In a big broad section. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Padama Nirmat Saranam. So where's that from? Who knows? Prabhupada's quoting that verse. Where's that from? You know? Ladies know? Ah, yeah. It's from the very first verse, isn't it? First or second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Padama Nirmat Saranam. It's also quoted in the Upadeshamrita. It's a very important phrase. This Bhashma Bhagavatam establishes the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. It can only be understood by those who are completely free from envy. So it's Paramahamsa Samhita. Paramanirmatsaranam. Yeah. Well, that's the other one. Idam Bhagavata Nama Puranam Brahma Samitam Udum Shloka Charitam Chakram Bhagavan Nishi Nishraya Shraya Loka Sha Swasti Danimaya Tomahat. That's later. Yeah, so even like in the third chapter or something. At the very beginning it says, Pagnitya is Paramonya. Die. By Boise Pundit. If you lose your job, you can put a sign on the door then like that. Pundit. Yeah. People were asking him, bless their automobiles after he did this, a fire sacrifice. Yeah. They're going to sit out there. Actually, you can make a little drive-through thing here. One temple has this in San Jose. People drive through. The guy has a whole coconut stacked up in a rack. Just to sit there chewing betel nuts. He'll drive up in a new car and stuff. And he blesses it, opens all the things up, has a whole thing, throws rice on it and stuff, and takes the money and the car goes off like that. I think he makes some promise to you. Don't ever transport meat, fish, or eggs in the car. They promise. Never. When devotees are related to that. And only use the car for Krishna's service like that.
In
the glove box. Yeah, nice book there. Yeah, what's it called? Easy Journey to Other Planets. The glove box. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, actually, what happens is that many times you make these standards, and people, they're a little offended, but they stop and they think about it for a second, and they go on and they say, yes, it is a good thing. I will have my friend, he will transport the meat, the eggs. Usually, Indians aren't saying beef or something, but they send me eggs and stuff like that. So, the whole thing is probably always finding the means to introduce Krishna consciousness in a way that people can understand the whole world. And because in the end, the only people that can really understand it are those who are paramanir matsaranam, right? They're free from all envy. See, I can pick it back to the verse. Therefore, Prahlada Maharaj prays in this verse, kalah prasidatam. May all envious persons be pacified. Like that. Wow. See, Prabhupada's purport, he's just taking one point after another like that. Okay. The material world is full of envious persons. But if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manascha bhadram bhajatad adhoksajay. So Prabhupada's already gone ahead to that verse. Manascha bhadram bhajatad adhoksajay. Upadeshamrita, text number 8. Nanama rupa charitade sukatananusmito kramena rasana manasi nyojan. Engage the tongue and the mind. Yeah, like that. And then we start thinking about when the mind becomes purified. Prabhupada says here, he says, and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord, cleanses his mind of all envy. So, pretty much Prabhupada is saying this means second initiated devotee, sometimes, in a general sense. Then you're a Brahmin. And so you're Brahmin. So your mind is also absorbed in Brahmin. Na sochati, na kangshati. Yeah, there's detail. Things are happening, agitations. But generally speaking, now what are you? Like that. Okay, you're a Brahmin. And so they're completely engaged in the service of the Lord. Many times Prabhupada talks about it like that. Otherwise, sometimes people try and make it such a high standard that nobody can be like that. Well, I can't do it, so nobody does it. All the gurus in ISKCON are bogus. All the sannyasis are bogus. Actually, all the Brahmins are bogus. Nobody can follow this. But I'm a Prabhupada disciple, Prabhu. I was initiated like that. But no, Prabhupada is very practical. Devotional service is not a matter of imaginative ecstasy or sentimental speculation. It is practical activity in the foreground of spiritual life. Upadeshamrita, text number 3. So that's the whole thing. Is this, okay, so fully engaged means, Prabhupada says, second initiation, taking care of the deity. And even if you don't take second initiation formally, if you're following your first initiation properly, then you'll be engaged fully. Maybe Jayananda, his Brahmin thread was black from automobile grease. He forgot half the Gayatri mantras, but he was sleeping 2 hours a day. He was not an ordinary human being. He was very incredible. He goes 72 hours out eating and sleeping to get the Ratha Yatra, to go on like that, and then sit down after everything's finished. He sat down at one of the devotee's apartment, Grihastha's apartment, and said, "Chance, I have 2 extra rounds to chant like that." So to chant. What was it like? It was 4 days, 64 rounds without getting up. Sat there, the sore, you know. Yeah.
This guy's not an ordinary human being.
Yeah. Yeah. So probably, you know, my speculation is he's the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. So very appropriate is coming up at this point. You know. And so then, you know, the mind becomes purified. In fact, you know, if we, you know, the Brahman, na sochati, na kanchati. You see that devotees who are Brahmins in ISKCON, they, generally speaking, they're peaceful about things. They don't hang about things. They don't lament. Yeah, but they're Brahmins, so sometimes they fall from that. The next level, you become Goswami. And then you can actually start to see Krishna in general. The altar is spiritual, but you actually see that Krishna is thinking something today, and Radharani is thinking something. And so you begin to see the, you know, the form in the spiritual world like that. You know? And then you begin to participate, you know, in Bhagavan. And so this is like, you know, first you become a Goswami, and you become pure devotee. Before that, a Brahmin, okay? And your mind becomes purified. Therefore, we should pray to Nrisimhadeva to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nrisimho Hridaye Nrisimho. Yeah? So every day we do this, right? We pray, Bahir Nrisimho Hridaye Nrisimho. Yeah. I was mentioning, these are two verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I gotta find the exact location right there, with word by word meaning everything. Let Lord Nrisimhadeva sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Well, that's what it means. I hear Nrisimho Hridaye Nrisimho. Namaste Narasimhaya Prahlad Halada Gayane Hiranya Kasi Purvakshahar Shilatanka Nakalai Yato Nrisimho. It means here, eto. Eto Nrisimho. Arato Nrisimho. Yato, yato, yamitato Nrisimho. Bahir Nrisimho, Hridaye Nrisimho. Nrisimhamadim, Sharanam Prapadye. But Amar is praying this, no? I see Lord Nrisimhadeva here. I see Lord Nrisimhadeva there. Wherever I go, I see Lord Nrisimhadeva. I see him on the outside. I see him on the inside. I offer my obeisances to him. There's one nice Christian chant, you know. It's very nice. I think it's Irish. It's Irish there. There's one girl's chanting. It was Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ below me, Christ to my left, Christ to my right, Christ in the hearts of everyone. It's very nice like that. Meditation like that. But our tradition is the same. People really get into religion, they're doing the same thing we are. They're meditating on these simple things like that. One lady, and I was at this church, I was going to this church, trying to get my former wife, I guess it's my wife, trying to get her engaged somehow or other, you know, it didn't work out. You know. But in the church, there was one very pious family. Everybody thought, you know, they would pray three times and get the day. They would call each other on the phone at noontime to pray together, you know. So she was trying to understand what I was doing, everything else, and Krishna consciousness. And it was very new for them. And I was explaining, chanting the holy names like that. And she said, no, it's very interesting what you're saying, you know, because sometimes when I'm praying the most intensely, I just find myself saying over and over again, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, like that. So it's very not natural. The name is so potent, and when we're very sincere, doesn't matter what your tradition is, you begin to appreciate. Yes, it's a fact. You know, and that's a measure of somebody who's really, you can see these people are advanced in spiritual life like that. Yeah. And many times spontaneously they become vegetarian. Yeah, I talked about that, and they go, I've always thought that. You know, but, you know, and then now that they hear it, they say, yes, you're right. You know, you shouldn't. It's not necessary. So this is universal aspect of Krishna consciousness, that we should all pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva to be in our hearts, right, and destroy these demoniac desires, so that we can, let my mind become clean, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord, and bring peace to the entire world. Because when we have Krishna in our heart, wherever we go, you know, it's automatic, you know. Vaisheshaka, our Sankirtan leader. We're initiated in the same letter. He took second initiation, the same letter I took first initiation. So he was saying, I was asking about technique, and he's done book distribution so long, and he just forgot about it. He can't, just automatically, you know. There's one technique here. There's one technique where you distract the person, and you know, hand a book to them. Automatically, they take it like that. you want to buy that book, right? You'd like to buy the book, right? Yeah, you want to give me $5. You want to give me $5 for the book, right? So one technique is you just kind of distract the person and pass the book towards them. The automatic reaction is just to take it. You know, and once it's in their hand, they're in big trouble because you kind of give it back. You open it there. You know. Another one is to put the question so the answer is naturally positive. You know, after this class, you want to go out and blow your brains out, right? Yeah, so this is called the McCabe nod. So the natural answer is positive, then you smile. It's called the iron smile. And you nod your head up and down like that, and you don't say anything. It goes on for 15 minutes, you just keep smiling. And funny, the guy is, you know. So it's like techniques, you know. But he's been doing this so long, it's just he doesn't even think about it. It's just he can't even think about the techniques. It's just the way he does it. So he said book distribution, he says, is being an ambassador of goodwill. You just go out there, just like you've got this goodwill from Krishna, you just go out there. It doesn't matter how it is or whatever it is. You pat one kitty cat on the head, you give some prasadam to a dog, you know, you chant Hare Krishna to the birds. You know, whatever it is, it's whoever you meet, that's all you're out there for. It's just to give everybody what they need. You know? And then automatically, the thing that says the book's just start going up like that. Yeah. So this is, but how do you do that as long as you have all these crazy desires going through your mind like that? Even you don't want them, no? That's the problem. You know, it says that Lord Nrisimhadev, Hiranyakasipu was a big disturbance for Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah. So finally, Nrisimhadev killed him. Yeah. It's the same way, all these thoughts are coming like this, like that, this and that, irritating us. We have to fight to keep from thinking about this and that, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So then what happens? And we play Nrisimhadev, Bahir Nrisimho, Radaya Nrisimho. And he drives them all away. We can become peaceful. And then we can worship Krishna in our heart. Yeah. With Tivrena, right? With determination. And automatically, whoever we meet like that, right, is influenced. This is Bhava Bhakti, really. The level of Bhava Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti, Vairaganuga Bhakti, Sadhana. And then Bhava Bhakti. You know, where Krishna's in our heart, and the rays start to shine like that. And then finally, when it's mature, it becomes Prema Bhakti. Same thing. Bhava Bhakti is the immature form of Prema Bhakti. Nothing, not something else. Like a green mango. Yeah, you know, it's just, what's, you know, it's a green mango. What do I have to do to make it, what do I have to do to make it ripe? But nothing. Just keep watering it and keep the sunlight coming. It's guaranteed. Once you reach Bhava Bhakti, more or less, it's all downhill. It's just, he's got to keep it up. Okay. Example, like somebody who's the son of a rich man, all he has to do to inherit his father's fortune is not die. So all we have to do to inherit the kingdom of God is not die. Just continue our bhakti yoga. It's guaranteed. Okay? Last paragraph. Oh my gosh, it's longer. My gosh. Wow. It was a two-day class. So you want to read? Somebody else? I read? So Prabhupada's books are based upon the commentaries by Vishwanath Chakravarti. Well, I forgot who else is it. Baladev Vidyabhushana. Jiva Goswami? Jiva Goswami. Yeah, maybe some Bhaktisiddhanta also. And he had this all in one book. They were all in one book, so he was consulting the commentaries. Okay, Vishwanath Chakravarti.
Thank you.
Mantrausadi Vasha Sarpa Kalakena Nirvayate. Last paragraph. Take it on home. So don't worry, there'll always be a chance for Sankirtan. Die. Yeah. Die. So it's nice purport. Any comments? Anybody have any thoughts? I had a few things I thought of. I just noticed in the Prabhupada's just quoting, he's just citing one thing after another after another after another. He's saying basically my purports, I just take the Acharya's words, different things, and I use a little glue to put them together like that. A few realizations, and that's preaching. He's absorbed in all these things, and so he's coming like that in the right proportion. Kridayananda Maharaj, he was criticized because his purports to the 10th canto after Prabhupada left were so long, you know. He said, Prabhupada never wrote such long purports. Who do you think you are? And he's saying, well, yeah, but Prabhupada was like editing Vishnu Chakrabarti's words. Jiva Goswami was cutting them down like that. And I feel like, wow, how can I do that? How can I cut off? Or do, you know, so I just started putting everything in the Acharya say like that. But Prabhupada was doing that. He was like, you know, selecting some of these things. And now Bhanu Swami is actually translating all of Vishnu Chakravarti's commentaries. He translated the whole 10th canto first. And now he's other canto. I think he's up with the 4th canto now. He's translated like that. So they're very incredible. You know, Gopi Puranadana, Bhanu Swami. I know in Russia there was one devotee. He spent 7 years studying Sanskrit in Udupi. Yeah, some time ago. So he's probably, you know, probably the greatest Sanskrit in Russia. You know, Sanskritist and like that. So the other ones are like, you know, 4 or 5 years studying, writing small grammars. And it's just, in this, you know, in the intellectual level, there are so many incredible, you know, devotees, right, in ISKCON like that. It's nice too. Actually, it's like some people, these scholars, they write books, and they don't mention Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although obviously they mention everybody else. Actually, what's Nectar of Nectar Devotion is the book, and the professor is David Haberman. In his preface, he mentions all the people associated with the history of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, how they made commentaries and things like that. He does not mention Kedarnath Das, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, or A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And it, just according to the general way he's doing things, they obviously should come in there. You know. But I was talking about this with Radhika and stuff. And yeah, the thing is that Prabhupada is just so, his purports and everything else, our Sampradaya in Prabhupada, is just so clear. It's like when the sun comes up, it's, everything is like obvious. You know. And so even if you mention Prabhupada in a negative fashion, it's just like terrifying for them. What do you see? A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami is not a scholar. He's a foolish, sentimental religionist. You know, he's able to distribute so many books because he had these fanatics out there distributing them. You know, you see, even like that, people will reject you. Oh, he said the P word. He said, you know, even if you're in a negative sense, it's just like, you know, they can't, you know, there is no Prabhupada, there is no Prabhupada, there is no Prabhupada. So, you know, it's kind of like that, you know. And so, but it's, now it's come to the point, is this that, and now what happened is so many devotees have made their way into the academic area like that. A lot of them. And even they come in, again, some of them come in like, you know, they hate ISKCON and everything else, and they're crying it and blaspheming it left and right. They can't stop, you know. Like that. All those demons. And the real thing was that temple commander. He, you know, they start talking to them. And then finally they break down and start crying, you know. Yes, yes, it's true. But it was that temple commander. He's the guy. I couldn't be able to. Like that. So it's just, it's really unavoidable. Now, other than that, you start seeing like this big debates going on in Oxford about what is science, what is nature. And the theologians are basically like winning, you know. And before they didn't have these good arguments. Even just like 5 years ago, 6, 7 years ago, they didn't have these very good arguments about how to deal with these things and good attitude. And where's it coming from? You know, the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies, so many devotees there presenting these ideas. And you may not even, probably it doesn't matter whether they know the source or anything else. The ideas themselves have this potency. So when the ideas go in, then people start seeing things correctly like that. And they don't know where it is from. It's, I myself, now in India, many universities are having conferences on science and technology in ancient India. Like that. It's very popular, especially if you're a department of ancient history, because this gives you, like, people are interested in that. Oh, there was science and technology in ancient India. Like that. Yeah, there's so many things. Oh, wow. They had flying aircraft. They had batteries. They had all these things. You know? But they thought they were toys. You know, some specific purpose, simple thing. So, but you ask them, well, how did you start this? It's a good thing. How did you start this? They say, well, in the University of Calcutta. Calcutta University was the pioneer, but they didn't do it very well. Of course, we're doing it much better now. That okay, you know. It's okay. So then you go back to the Calcutta University, and they had an international or national seminar on science and technology in ancient India, and it was the same year Tamal Krishnamurti disappeared. Actually, a few days afterwards, even. Was it 19... It was 2004. It was 2004, something like that. And so I know because I was a chief guest. like that, by Dr. Bandhupadhyaya's arrangement. And what was his name? P.C. Chundar, who was former Minister of Education for the Union of India. Little guy. I don't know his name, use him like that. He was a president of West Bengal Science Association, and former Vice Chancellor of Yadavpur University, and Vice Chancellor of Calcutta University were all there on the stage. I was there, dressed like this. You know. They all had suits and ties on. You know. I felt kind of like a street dog. And all these communist Bengali scholars were all looking at me like that. You know. Why is he here? What's he going to do? This is a science conference. Is he going to sing a song or something like that? You know? So I gave all this presentation we're doing on Sankhya. And then, you know, it was a tough audience, but I was ready. And at the end of the thing, very quick after they went through it, it was just like, wow, this is nice. And they were taking all notes. And for 3 days after, people were asking questions. Because Sankhya allows you to be a fanatic Bengali religionist, a fanatic Bengali communist, and a scientist all at the same time. It all fits in together if you have a Sankhya view of life. So they, you know, I was there. And they did that because Dr. Bandhupadhyaya, our friend, you know, inspired them to do it, the Department of Ancient History. And he did it because I met him. And then he met Subhadamana Maharaj. And Subhadamana Maharaj did it. And I did it because I met Subhadamana Maharaj. Subhadamana Maharaj did it because he met Prabhupada. You know? And so I could see this one time, I could see exactly how the line had come down like that. And now in these modern universities, they don't know how they got this gift, how it's coming. But in this one line, I could see exactly how it developed like that. You know, probably there's a big rock that's gone in the water, and so many waves, you know, are moving because of that. Yeah. 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 No, I know. Prabhupada said in the beginning they will laugh at you, then they will become angry at you, and then they will take you serious. And honestly speaking, so many places in the world now is coming to that. I mean, I get the governor of Bengal, in India, people are accepting ISKCON, and Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya. He's an avatar. But this avatar is different. He's giving knowledge. He's not doing magic. Maybe we should, instead of ooing and awing his magic, we should take his words. So it's, the world's changing. In South America, the devotees go into Sankirtan, dressed in ordinary clothes, you know, and they say, yoga and meditation, like this and that. And they go, oh, yeah, yeah. Are you from ISKCON? Yeah. Well, you got any more? How many books you got? I'll take them all. I was like, I really got a shock. You know, it's like, people are taking books and stuff in Chile. It's just, you know, at many places like that, the whole consciousness is changing. You know? Of course, some places go first, other places like that, other places fall back. But many places, it's coming. I told this, was one guy in Bosnia or Serbia or something, interviewing this guy, and he said, we've tried monarchy, we've tried, you know, communism, we've tried fascism, we've tried consumerism, democracy. We've tried all these things. What about Hare Krishna? What about Hare Krishna, because Indradyumna Swami, you know, it's like, it's kind of like it's crazy, but hey, we've tried everything else, nothing else has worked, you know, so, okay, let me get one of their books, take a look, but that's what it's kind of coming to that point, where like, hey, yeah, you know, it's maybe, you know, and the thing is, when they try it out, maybe, that, you know. And so now, that's why I think now a lot of our responsibility now is actually developing rural communities. You got enough trouble maintaining the temple, but it'll be easier if you buy a farm. No. Yeah. I suppose Rishi said, in business, our idea is that one problem is a problem, two problems is a solution, like that. Yeah. At least rural development is not, as I'm mentioning that. And then, you know, everybody starts seeing, oh, yeah, this is how it works. You know, it's kind of, yeah, read your books, had your food, you know, seen your dolls. Very cool, you know? Yeah. But now, yeah, okay, well, here's, I want to see how it actually works like that. So I'm going to go to Sharanagati. We have communities that are, it's very, you know. rural life. It's automatic. Yeah. But because you haven't got a higher taste, sometimes you fall in motive ignorance and people drink in the country and so on and stuff. Yeah, Sharanagati, whenever I go there, I just see so many natural things. You know, it's interesting. Young girl, when she reaches 12 years old, everything else, she starts becoming so passionate, her body becomes agitated with sex desire, you know. That is just, you know, doing. But if you've got a horse, it's okay. You tell him what to do. And very natural, very common. In other cultures, they make the same point. So many young girls, they get a horse, you know, train him how to jump and stuff like that, you know, tell him what to do, you know, and stuff. At the same time, appreciating he's, you know, it's a very, and also to live on a farm, your child growing up, you see sexual relations, all these animals are carrying on like this and that, you know, oh, okay, you know. Just say, you know, this is bestial, you know, I'm not an animal, you know, I want to do something higher. So it's very natural then, the children growing up and following these principles, and it's natural not eating meat because you know what meat is. One time I saw this girl, you know, she was getting about 15, she just put, her horse was there, a stallion, you know, and she got him, turned him loose, you know, and then gave him an apple, cleaned the apple. Then her younger sister, she's about 3 years old or something, just barely talking like that and stuff, you know. She saw this, and I was watching chatting, and she went over and got an apple, and she went over to this horse like that, was holding it up to him like that, too. And he could have just bit her hand right off like that, you know. So, but he was sticking his head through the fence like that. And she wasn't close enough because he was afraid. So he was like scratching his head, and he, you know, it was obvious he didn't need the apple, but he could understand this is a little human being, a little person, and I have to reciprocate, you know, I have to take it. It was very personal like that. So he scratched his neck, got the apple, and he chewed it very obviously, like she was looking. It was very, very personal between two people, one adult and one child like that, you know. It was, wow. And then the other time I was sitting there and this squirrel ran up my shirt and looked in my pocket and then it started chastising me. And ran away like that. It was had dirt on her nose. Then this child's watching me and she's laughing. She said, oh, we put nuts in our pockets. And the squirrels are just used to that. So they nobody hurts them. They run up, take the nuts, run away. It was chastising me. So very, see, so many things so natural. And now they're in the third generation. And, you know, very, very so common. It's just exactly the way psychology works. The boys grow up, 18 years old, they're street legal. They leave, they go off, they have all these experiences. I brought the Yatra. Jambavama, the boy there, jumped off the cart and ran over and embracing this boy and like that, crying. And I said, what's happening? He said, it's his son. He's been gone for 3 years like that. And see, the boys just got back. Wow, you know. Mark Twain said, when I was 18 years old, I had to talk with my father about what is life, all this kind of stuff. And I realized he didn't know too much, you know. So I took off traveling all over the world, and I was got on a ship, and I was sailing as a sailor and traveled so many years. And finally I came back home when I was 24 years old. And I was talking again with my father about what is life and everything else. And I was amazed how much the old boy had learned in 6 years. Like that, yeah, like that. I was amazed how much the old guy had learned in 6 years about life. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what happened. But then you go out and you come back and then you can appreciate your father. And the girl next door has been there waiting like that, you know. And saying, oh, yeah. We, you know. So it's not exactly what happened. Will you marry me? Of course. I've been waiting here. You know. We've been growing up. We grew up together. And so now where are we going to live? You know, we're going to live in my father's house or your father's house. It's a whole thing. It's a building extension. And they have their children, and now the children are about 8 years old and stuff. The grandchildren, the devotees who founded the project, their grandchildren are there. And it's very so common. They figure in Sharanagati, I've heard, is one of their greatest successes. Maybe the greatest success is their children like it. They're very happy there. And they try it. They go outside, they try things. And they say, ah, it's stupid. You know? Cars running everywhere, doing nothing. Yeah. You know? Yeah, you can try marijuana. You know, it makes you stupid. Yeah. So we have good projects like that. Yeah. But now more. You know, more. I mean, it's a Boise Temple community here. Buy some land and have a fruit orchard. Anybody wants to go and stay there in the fruit orchard like that. And every now and again, you actually get fruit trees. I don't know, maybe you can find some place where naturally we don't need irrigation. But even that you can do automatically. Even once a week, you irrigate fruit trees once a week, no problem. The temple then becomes the gateway. That's what it's for. It's just for people to come, meet devotees, get accustomed to this, prasadam. And you say, oh, we're going to have a big festival. We go for the festival for this weekend, for Vamana Dwadasi, like that. Oh, yeah. Where is it? Oh, it's close, 45 minutes. Oh, okay. Yeah, can I come? Yeah. So, urban preaching center, suburban temple, Boise is kind of combined, you know. And then rural community, you know, 1, 2, 3, and then back to Godhead. Like that. Yeah. So, we're many years, you know, the devotees, the systematic preaching. You see so many devotees over so many years just figuring out how it works and developing things like that. So many years. Yeah. Bhakti yoga. And if they're engaging, even if you don't know they're engaging in bhakti yoga, it's going to be purifying. You're saying that their hearts will become purified. And they don't know it's bhakti yoga. It's these scholars, these theologians at Oxford, who are repeating Prabhupada's words, you know, his philosophy and ideas of the acharyas, they don't know they're engaging in bhakti yoga, that they're becoming happier and more peaceful. And that's one of the biggest things. All the students are looking at this stuff, these materialistic scientists, you know, the more we study the universe, the more it becomes obvious that it has no purpose, no meaning, blind indifference. We are born, we live, and we die, and that's it. That's like the quotations from these guys. It's like, and so students are just kind of like, you know, looking at these guys, God, these guys are smoking, everything else, they're completely, you know, miserable. And the theologians are walking around greeting people and discussing interesting ideas and also reading the science books with more enthusiasm than the scientists and sometimes like that, appreciating the ideas. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, preaching the Sankirtan. Yeah. Ah, I'll say your name.
Inishina.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. They
are right in the middle of the maze.
Oh. Wow.
They invite
people from
the city
from
the government.
Ah.
City slickers.
Yeah.
And they spread the
tree
there.
Yeah.
And then there's another place called Nahuatl is public.
Oh.
Where they have a huge farm.
Oh, yeah.
And they invite any city people to come and do.
Wow. Oh, it's very, it's so natural. You know. Then one devotee, we know him. His name, he travels a lot. He's got a brahmacharya. Oh, he's traveling brahmacharya. He's from Croatia or something. Yeah. Anyway, there's in Europe, there's a lot of walking paths, walking trails and stuff. And some, you know, go along the public roads and some cut through the country like that. And there are properties along by these, and then people have inns, because you can do this in Europe. You go for this walking holiday. You just carry your, do what you need, the change of clothes and stuff. You can wash stuff overnight, let it dry, and then it's a very nice thing. You have it and just walking. So one devotee, they have bought one of these places. It's a little piece of property with farm area with a house, and there's a gate there under the walking path, and people make their reservations. You can just walk in, just, you know, just, is there a space? No, I'm sorry, we're full like that. Try down the road. But many people, they make their reservations for these days, and they show up, and then they stay there. And they know it's devotees, but they don't, like, you know, push anything. But then in the morning, they hear the program in the morning like that, and they ask, well, what's going on, this and that. Well, can we come? Yeah, like that. Yeah. It's took pictures of it. It's just like in the mountains. And it's like, you know, all these flowers growing in the springtime. It snows in the winter, a big old solid wood log place like that. It's just, you know, wow. And it takes time for the logs to heat up. Once they get hot, though, they stay hot for hours and hours like that. Yeah. It's very, very natural, the whole way of living like that. And this, of course, is in uninhabitable countries, too, where it snows and everything else, what to speak of these tropical countries. which in some ways why in South America I think it's going faster than North America in some ways. Because even in downtown Buenos Aires, the guys are driving around with horse carts, you know, working, picking up stuff and doing stuff, you know, the horses are running around. Yeah. In Peru, the guy was, you know, when we went farm, the guy was untying the horse was plowing the field like that, and, you know, it's just, you know, the horse knows what he's doing, now I get fed and stuff, you know, and see that, you know, everybody's natural like that. Whereas here, my God, the last time people used animals for agriculture was probably 1937 or something like that, you know, like, maybe 1940, it's been like, what, 60 years? 60 years before we've even begun this. So, America may take maybe slower. We should start with fruit trees. Like that. And boysenberries. This is Boise, right? Boysenberry. Okay. And final comments, complaints. Here's a codicy. Fasting until noon. So, Prabhupada keep. I hear the Maha Mantra keep. Back home, back to Godhead. Tomorrow we'll hear about the house and the wife and children. Magara Dhara Atmaja. Vita. Bank balance. Okay. I'll make you done.